Hi, everybody. I'm Petticoat Freddos, and help is on the way. In fact, it is on the way every Monday afternoon live from 3 to 4 p.m. here on the Progressive Radio Network on the Ask Petty Show. And for those of you who've been listening for all of these years, I can hardly believe it is over 8 years since I first met Gary Null and first began hosting the Ask Petty Show. So you know that I am a psychotherapist and a sex therapist. I'm also the author of the groundbreaking book on relationships for better, for worse, forever. Discover the Path to Lasting Love, a book that I say this all the time, that I wish that I had had when I first began dating and looking into the world, the serious world of relationships. So people are probably wondering, so what is this wonderful book really all about? Well, I did research with 450 people in the Providence, Boston, and Connecticut area. And as a result of the research, I devised a 10-step formula. And what does this formula do? Well, it teaches us exactly how to assess who is right for you and who is wrong for you before committing to any serious relationship. Because when you think about it, right, we assess every single thing in our life before we purchase most products, our lipsticks, our nail polish, our phones, our computers, basically everything. We're busy on the computer, looking and reading reviews. And yet when we think about relationships, I think most of us, certainly I was like that when I was, you know, very, very, very much younger. We just wanted to meet someone and fall in love and have the happily ever after. Of course, we all want the happily ever after, but the reality is, and you know this, that we are not doing well when it comes to our relationships. We have a divorce rate of first marriages for 48%, 67% of second marriages always fail. And people are so surprised to hear when I'll ask the question, well, what about third marriages? How do you think people do when they're marrying for the third time? Well, they are not doing well at all. In fact, 74% of people who are marrying for the third time, they too end up in the divorce courts. So again, we really need to become serious students of relationship education. And what I've discovered over the years is that there are basically three things that we need to do if we really hope to find and maintain a healthy relationship with anyone. And we hope to be able to never make a mistake in love again. So what are the three things? Well, first of all, each of us needs to be in a good place emotionally, psychologically, psychiatrically, and we need to have been willing to work through our own issues, our own skeletons in the closet, and what I call unfinished business. And when we do this, we are then free. We have clarity in terms of being able to look at the reality of who someone is and who someone is not. And number two, we need to become students and actually learn the ingredients that go into a healthy relationship. And number three, my formula, for better, for worse, forever, discover the path to lasting love. And this formula will keep you educated. It will keep you empowered. And above all, it will keep you safe. And, you know, people always ask me, well, how long does it actually take to do a really good in-depth assessment? Well, I was surprised and a little disappointed, but my research found that it actually takes about a year, not a week, not a month, to go through the process of discovery in order to find out who somebody is and is not. Well, what else do I do when I'm not seeing patients in my private practice here in New York City and also in East Hampton? Well, I'm the advice columnist for Dan's Papers in the Hamptons and also in Palm Beach. And I write 2 to 3 SBD columns, and you can read the columns online. And if you are lucky enough to be spending time in the Hamptons, and I believe that there are also magazines that you can find on the Upper East Side, and I think also the Upper West Side in New York City. You can read all of the different letters and questions that I get from the Dan's Papers readers, and hopefully you will enjoy reading the columns. And I also encourage you can write to me at bdcone.msw@gmail.com. And for more information about how you can find me and about my philosophy and perspective on a variety of different mental health subjects, you can go to my website, and the website is bdcohan, BEATTYCOHAN .com. I'm also a national speaker, and I've been an expert guest in national radio and television for many, many, many years. But I must say that probably of all the things that I do as an educator, of course, I love hosting the Ask Beattie Show here on the Progressive Radio Network. But what goes on in my private practice? What happens when I'm meeting with men, women, and some children of all ages and stages in life, many who are suffering from a variety of different issues, including depression and anxiety. I see some people who've been very suicidal over the years. And what I have found for the most part, and I'm so curious what you would think about what I'm about to say, is that for most people, there needs to be a major crisis. And for some people, there needs to be multiple major crises before people are really, really serious and willing to acknowledge, address, and resolve their issues as best as they can, understanding, of course, that we cannot change our history. And what I've found, and I've been practicing now for over 35 years, I sometimes wish that I could fast forward people's crises so that they would finally be willing to sit up, be serious, and say to themselves that it is time for me to deal with the depression, the anxiety, the sexual problems, the relationship issues, the addictions of various different kinds. Because typically, we go along, and what I have found is that life goes by very, very, very quickly. And if we are not serious about really addressing the issues and problems that continue to get in the way of our life and relationships, our lives, our relationships are not going to be joyful and happy and peaceful. So in many, many ways, the buck really stops with us. And I know that it is very difficult at times to find good mental health practitioners, people who accept insurance, people who are not overcharging. And yet, we have to continue. We have to continue to try as best as we possibly can. And that means sometimes meeting with multiple different therapists. If your first therapist or second therapist is not somebody who you're connecting with and is not someone who you feel is really helping you to really deal and successfully begin to resolve the various different problems that keep you in a very, very low state of mind and that interfere with your day-to-day life in all kinds of ways. So, when I chose the theme song Help, what I've been trying to convey and communicate to people during all of these years is that reaching out and asking for help is a real strength. You know, people will say, well, why can't I do this on my own? And there's something wrong with me that I haven't been able to figure out why I'm not functioning at the level that I would like to function. And I can just assure you that, you know, when you think about athletes and you think about people in various different professions who are continually reaching out and getting coaching and getting guidance, and you should be able to tell yourself the same kind of thing, that if you are struggling and if you are finding that you're just going around and around in circles and that you are not making any real headway in your life and with the problems that continue to get in the way of your life, you know, I hope that I have convinced you, or at least you would consider what I'm saying, that that it's a good thing to reach out and ask for help. In fact, if we're talking about reaching out and asking for help, if you have any questions or comments during the Ask Beattie show, there is a number that you can call me on the air, and that number is 888-874-4888, because I know that there are many of you who are listening to the show and have listened to the show for many, many years. And I'm sure that you have comments. I'm sure that you have questions. And in fact, initially, when I began to host the Ask Beattie show on the Progressive Radio Network, the idea was that it was going to be a call-in counseling show, because I'd hosted many, many other call-in counseling shows on major radio networks prior to hosting the show on the Progressive Radio Network. But I think what happened is, you know, people are at work and it is the middle of the day. However, for those of you who are at home right now, or maybe taking a break if you are at work, and there's something on your mind, there's something that you've been pondering, there's something that you're not sure about, there are something or some things that have been bothering you, we could have a very, very nice conversation and discussion about your issues right now. So that number again is 888-874-4888. Now, you know that every week I ask you to, you know, be really honest with yourself and contemplate whether or not you are on a good path, whether or not you are on top of your life. If we're talking about your mental health, or your relationships, or your professional or financial life, are things going okay? Mental health wise, are you generally happy? I mean, we all have our ups and downs. Are you generally happy with yourself? Are you generally happy with your relationships and the general direction that you are going in? Or are you finding that you are on a downward spiral? And I think, again, it is so important that we are really honest with ourselves. And what about your relationships? If you really had to sit back and assess your relationships with your friends and your family and your significant others and your colleagues, what would you say? Are they generally positive? Or do you find that you are engaging or mostly engaging with people who really do steal your joy? And then, of course, if that is the case, the real question becomes, what are you willing to do about it? What about substance abuse? If we're talking about alcohol or substances of other kinds, are you concerned with any alcohol or prescription use or abuse? And have you suffered any negative repercussions? And that also includes prescription and over-the-counter medication as well. So have you suffered any negative repercussions or consequences as a result of possible substance abuse? And if you're not sure, you know, or if you're really not willing to be completely honest with yourself, you might want to ask a close friend or partner to corroborate your own thoughts and feelings, and their answers could give you some much needed objectivity. We want to live a life of truth. We don't want to go through life pretending and lying to ourselves about anything. What about your physical health? And I know that it's difficult at times to try and stay in shape. And of course, if it gets colder, you know, we tend to make all kinds of excuses. It's too cold and we can't walk. It would, you know, it's very, very easy to just really hibernate. And so many of my patients these days are actually working from home. So they work from home in their pajamas, many lying in their beds. And I think that there's a tremendous amount of inactivity and subsequent obesity. So again, you want to make sure that you are basically in good health and that you've had a complete physical, including you know, blood work within the past year. And if you are under a doctor's you know, protocol, just making sure that you are doing what you need to do to ensure that you are living your life in your best interest. And if you are listening to this self-assessment and you're finally saying to yourself, you know, I'm really not doing all that well, and I've been procrastinating, whether it's about not getting enough sleep, and no, I'm not really taking care of myself all that well. Again, the real question is, do you want to do something about it? Because we all know that it's very difficult at times to be fully truthful with ourselves. Yet it is our avoidance, our denial, our blame. We can blame the world for why we're not taking care of ourselves, or our self-blame and defensiveness that continue to keep us in a downward spiral. So what I'm hoping, and I hope every single week when I ask you these questions, that you are going to be willing to do the necessary work to change the things in your life that are not going as well as you would like. And this means, yes, it may mean reaching out and asking for help. Because remember, there are so many challenges in our lives, and we really don't need to navigate life's journey and challenges on our own. So in a way, it's really about you're making a commitment, not to me, not to anybody else, but it's really about making a commitment to yourself that for this coming year, I mean, I can hardly believe that we're almost in 2023, that you are going to hit it and that you are going to become more mindful in terms of living your life in ways that are truly in your best interest. And I'm so curious how this really all resonates with you. Is it just a lot of psychobabble, or is there some little thing in you right now that's saying, yes, I can do this. I've been lax. I've been lazy. I haven't had the kind of self-discipline that I wish that I'd had. But as my late father used to tell me every single day, he'd say, Beattie, every day is a new day. Every day we have the opportunity. We have the opportunity to make changes, positive changes in our life. And as Gary Null tells us all of the time, there are actual things that we can do every single day in terms of eating healthily, interacting, socializing, getting sufficient sleep, taking naps, exercising. So there are a lot of things. Again, all these things require some self-discipline and a commitment to do what is really best for us. And of course, some of the other things include having really supportive people in our life and eliminating toxins, chemical toxins, of course. And when I talk about toxins, I talk about toxic people. And one of the things that I found over all of these years, both professionally and personally as well, and I say this routinely, that a little bit of poison, a little bit of poison is still poison. So if you look at all of your relationships that you have currently, how do you rate them? Are they mostly healthy? And when I talk about healthy relationships, I'm not for one moment suggesting that there are not going to be issues, that there are not going to be problems, because there always are in the best of relationships and in the best of situations. But what you want to make sure is that if there are problems or issues or when things get off track, that you are engaging with people who are committed to you, committed to the relationships, and are really willing to work through the issues and the problems, whatever the issues and problems may be. And that is the definition of having healthy relationships in our lives. So it's not that healthy relationships don't have problems. All healthy relationships will go through lots and lots and lots of ups and downs. So again, the willingness to discuss, to compromise, to make trade-offs, always looking for, if at all possible, the win-win resolution. That is the definition of being in a healthy relationship. You know, other things that help us to keep ourselves positive every single day are things like positive visualization. You know, before the show, every single week, you know, I think about all kinds of positive things that help me really prepare myself to do the Ask Beauty Show, listen to music, dancing, getting out into nature, helping others, giving back. Some people, and my husband Jim and I mean, we've had a dog forever, and the joy that we get, and sometimes, of course, it's frustrating from having a dog, from taking our dog on walks, from talking to our dog and bathing our dog and caring for our dog. All of these little things, they really add up, especially if you're an animal person or a dog person, to just giving you that extra special feeling of happiness and joy in our lives. And of course, we have to be careful what we are consuming food wise, you know, eliminating sugar and soda and alcohol and nicotine and all the toxins that end up being very, very self-destructive for us. So it's true, there are a long list of to-dos that really help us to live healthier and happier lives. And ultimately, the choice is ours. Are we going to do what we need to do to make our life joyful, regardless of what our history has been? Or are we going to continue to engage in self-destructive and self-sabotaging behavior? And again, all I have found over the years is that we can't change anybody at all. We can encourage change. We can ask people to consider making positive changes in their lives. But the only changes that we can actually make, that we have any control over, are the changes that we are willing to make on our own, right? So if you have any comments or if you have any questions about any of what I have just said, again, and I am encouraging you to call in. The number is 888-874-4888. And I want to just mention something again. And of course, this was a conversation that I had with Dr. Andrew Solomon a couple of weeks ago. I am, as a mom, as an educator, as a therapist, I'm very, very concerned about what is going on with children. The childhood suicide is on the rise. Childhood depression is on the rise. And it was startling for me to read that between 1950 and 1988, the proportion of adolescents, 15 to 19, who killed themselves dramatically quadrupled. That between 2007 and 2017, the number of children aged 10 to 14 who did so more than doubled. And what about 2020? Well, according to the Nation Center for Disease Control, the CDC, suicide claimed the lives of more than 500 children between the ages, now listen to this, between the ages of 10 and 14, and 6,000 young adults between the ages to 15 and 21. So what is this really all about? I think that the pandemic certainly helped to isolate children in ways that we've really never seen before. But what I'm suggesting as parents, as teachers, as educators who are involved in the lives of children on a day-to-day basis, that we really do pay attention. And if we're finding that our child is very, very withdrawn, or on the other hand, is acting out in ways that are very troubling, or is having problems in school, or difficulty socializing, or is spending, as so many children are today, so many people are today, spending so much time on the computers and with games and with all of the technology, it really, in many, many ways, has not helped to connect us in truly meaningful ways. And if you're concerned, if you as parents or educators are concerned about your children or children that you are dealing with, I really hope that you're not going to look the other way and that you are going to take your concerns seriously. And think about making some referrals to professional people who specialize in working with children and who are on top of children's mental health issues, because these numbers, very, very, very concerning. When you think about children age 5 to 11, who are finding themselves in emergency rooms in hospitals, you have to ask, what is it that's going on? Children 5 to 11, children 12 to 17. So again, let's make sure that if we are having any concerns about the children in our life, that we do what we need to do and reach out and have them assessed and get whatever necessary help that they would need. To help them really get back on a more positive path. There was a letter that I received from a reader from Dan's papers a couple of weeks ago that I wanted to actually share with you. And I wrote a column, The Importance of Learning to love ourselves, based on this reader's letter to me. And what I am asking of you, and of course, I ask my readers, I ask my patients, is if you're finding that you're not really taking care of yourself and you're really not sure why, And if you are engaging in destructive, self-sabotaging situations in relationships, it is time to really sit up and try to figure out, what is all of this about? Why is it that I am not taking good care of myself? Why is it that I am not loving myself? And again, more importantly, what to do about it? My late father, Maurice Serre, he used to tell me as a child, we used to have these long talks. I was very, very close with my dad, that it was the luck of the draw who brings us into the world, right? We have zero choice who our parents will be. The lucky child experiences love in very, very concrete ways. She or he learns that love is caring, patience, sharing, respect, honesty, appreciation, goodness, warmth, empathy, and affection. Yes, that is what the lucky child happens to learn about love. From parents who have the capability of being able to express love. A lucky child learns that love is not abuse. Verbal abuse, physical abuse, emotional abuse, or sexual abuse. Her parents teach her about the importance of setting boundaries. They lovingly explain to her, even though the child may not want to hear any of this, in consistent ways, why she can and cannot engage in certain activities or behaviors, and why certain people will hurt her. Our parents, if we are lucky, they are our nurturers and they are our early educators. If she's really, really fortunate, and these days there's just so much divorce, she sees her parents respecting and loving each other. And you might wonder, well, why is any of this really important? Well, it is these early, early unconscious lessons that set the stage for our future adult relationships, whether we know it or not, whether we are consciously aware of this or not. The truly loved child learns early on what healthy love is and is not. However, there are many, many people, millions of people who were not that lucky, but those unlucky kids and then adults should not lose heart, because you too can learn to have happy lives filled with love. And of course, the challenge, however, will be to make sure that you don't inadvertently repeat your early childhood lessons of abuse or neglect. And this is what this letter that I receive from the reader is really all about. And this is precisely why good professional help can provide you with invaluable insight and support that can enable you to live the life that you deserve, which is a life of peace, love, and happiness, regardless of what did or did not happen in your family life when you were growing up. So here's the letter. And again, I would love to hear your comments. I recently received this email from the caller, Ramona, a 55-year-old, never married writer who was severely abused as a child, and who unfortunately never learned to love herself. And here is the letter. Dear Beatty, I listen to your Ask Beatty show on the Progressive Radio Network every week, and I read your columns and decided to see if you can help me. I mostly feel despondent and depressed since I feel that my life has no real purpose. I have been in therapy since I was a child. Both of my parents physically, verbally, and emotionally abused me for most of my childhood. My mother often hit me. I remember her throwing me down the stairs for no apparent reason, while my father, looking on, did nothing to help me. I left home at 18 and was able to obtain a four-year scholarship to Columbia University. That's amazing. And I became a writer. Writing was the one safe activity where I could express my feelings and financially support myself. My relationships with men have all been abusive in one way or another. I felt that if I showed someone, anyone, love, that I would finally get the love that I craved to be loved in return. She goes on and she says, I gave and gave love, money, and sex to all of my boyfriends, who all took advantage of my generosity and goodness, and who all left me in the end. I've been in a relationship with John for the past 5 years. He has stage 4 lung cancer. I have been his sole source of support since he has no family. Our relationship has never been stable. I do everything for him and receive little attention and appreciation in return. He owns his own home and is self-employed. We have never discussed finances. Now, here is the kicker. I am thinking of selling my house and quitting my job in order to take care of him full time. And I really want you to know what you think. I really want to know what you think. Well, if Ramona has been reading my columns and listening to the Ask Beatty show, she probably already knows what I think about all of this. But I write back. Dear Ramona, I'm so sorry that your life up to this point has been so disappointing and difficult. You do, however, seem to have a very clear understanding of why you have allowed, and that is the key word here, excuse me, of why you have allowed men in your life to hurt you. My question to you is this, and this is not just my question to Ramona, this is my question to you as well. Since we can't change our history, are you willing to take whatever steps are necessary now and move out of your self-destructive comfort zone? If you do decide to become John's primary caregiver, you realize, of course, that taking on this role is going to be extremely difficult. You will need some backup. You cannot and should not do this on your own. You will get sick if you don't take care of yourself in very concrete ways. This means getting sufficient sleep, eating well, and giving yourself permission to take a break from this painful situation. And I really do wonder, this is me speaking right now, you know, what Ramona thinks about this and what she's going to do. As for selling your house and quitting your job to take care of your boyfriend, I would not suggest that you do this unless he is willing to provide for you financially after his death. Does he have a will? Is he willing to make you his sole beneficiary, appoint you as his power of attorney and healthcare surrogate, and ensure that you have legal access to his bank accounts, real estate, as well as his business? You deserve this. It's always difficult to have these kinds of conversations, especially when someone is terminally ill, that if you don't, you could potentially end up in a disastrous situation, both emotionally and financially. And this is the thing. You are at a crossroads. Many, many people, by the way, are at similar kinds of crossroads. We have choices. You need to decide, Ramona, whether you are on board to finally, finally learn to take better care of yourself. The choice is yours. And I end my response to her by saying, let me know if you think that I can be helpful. So here we have a situation. This is a very dire situation. It's a very unfortunate and painful situation where you have a woman who has incredible insight, who sounds like she's very, very smart in terms of really understanding when the problem began, why the problems have persisted. She says that she's been in therapy for most of her life. And yet, in her quest to find love, in many, many ways, she repeated one way or another the dynamic that she lived with when she was a little girl growing up with her parents. She was with men who were unavailable. She was with men who were also physically and emotionally and verbally abusive to her. So you can see that she was unable, despite the therapy that she'd had over the years, to move out of that very, very similar, and I call it comfort zone, that she was used to. And this reminds me of a patient that I treated a number of years ago who came from a very, very similar background. She too was physically, verbally, emotionally, and also sexually abused during most of her childhood. And as you can imagine, she had some significant psychiatric problems, depression, anxiety. She was later diagnosed with a bipolar disorder. And when I first started to treat her, very, very similar to Ramona, the people who were in her life, her friends, her colleagues, were all people who were either unavailable to her in many ways or who were also abused. And finally, I was treating her, it was probably over a year, and she arrived at one of our sessions and she told me that she had just met this really, really terrific young man. And I was ecstatic for her because she had not dated, she did not trust men, she did not feel comfortable in social situations, and she seemed to be very happy, and we were very happy talking about her new relationship. And yet, within a very, very short period of time, she came into one of our weekly sessions and she told me that she broke up with him. And I was really taken aback because it sounded as if the relationship was going very well. And for people who've heard this story before, it's really worthwhile repeating again. And this is something that I have never, ever, ever forgot. And she said to me, she said, you know, she says, you probably think I'm crazy, which I didn't. She said, you know, even though this relationship is going so well, and he's so nice and he treats me so well, it feels so wrong. And it was, how could something so nice, so good, so healthy, so constructive feel wrong? And she was still used to, she for all of the years that she'd sustained various different kinds of abuse, that was her comfort in quotes zone. That was where she felt that things made sense and that things were right, even though intellectually and psychologically she knew that that didn't make sense. So she did. She broke off with the relationship, and naturally, we had a lot more work to do. And it was the same thing. It reminded me, you know, of this the same story that Ramona was telling me in the letter that she sent. that she was used to as a child, being, of course, disrespected and abused in a variety of different kinds of ways. And she continued to perhaps attract and enable men to continue to do basically the same things to her as her parents had done. And now in this situation with John, she has some really, really big decisions to make. I mean, it sounds like he's probably not going to be alive for much longer. And is she going to remove herself from her comfort zone and make sure, of course, she can't force him to sign all of the different papers, but to make sure that she is not going to yet again put herself in an absolute disastrous situation where she could become not only depressed, but penniless as well. So, you know, I'm hoping. I wrote her back, and she left me a cell number, and I also gave her a call. And, you know, I'm hoping that she is going to think about, maybe for the first time in her life, taking the steps that will help her begin to live her life in ways that are in her best interest. And, you know, I will keep you posted. I'm hoping that she is going to actually, you know, start some therapy with me, some much needed therapy, and certainly some support. And see whether she will be willing to make some very, very big changes under, of course, very difficult situations. And yet, you know, I think that we all get to a point, you know, in our lives where it's, yes, are we going to continue? Are we going to continue being self-destructive? Are we going to continue to self-sabotage? Or despite the fact that that may have been or is our comfort zone, are we willing to make some changes to finally live our life in ways that are functional and that are healthy, that will hopefully lead to some happiness and joy? And it's that push-pull kind of dynamic that so many people find themselves in. And I see this, you know, I see this in my practice where people make all kinds of excuses where they are continuing to allow and enable toxicity of various different kinds to really rule their lives, and then wonder why their depression and their anxiety is not subsiding. So again, I'm so curious what you think about Ramona's letter. What would you do in a situation like this if you had been in a relationship with someone who was terminally ill, who had treated you pretty shabbily over a number of years? Would you be willing to have the talk, in this situation, the money talk, the pragmatic talk about are you willing to help me? Are you willing to take care of me after you die, even though you haven't done a very good job at all of being a loving and truly emotionally available partner to me during a number of years? You know, big questions. Are we willing to make some changes? Or are we going to go along a path that's more of the same, even though it's self-destructive? And, you know, these are all the questions. And this is why every single week, you know, on the Ask BD show, I'm asking you the same questions. Are you living your life in ways that are in your best interest? I ask you to look at your relationships. I ask you to look at your physical health and your mental health and your financial well-being. And these are all the things that we all need to be serious about. And make sure, and really make sure that we are on a constructive path. And these aren't maybe fun questions for a lot of people, especially if you've been veering off and if you've been veered off for many, many, many years. And change, even though the changes would be positive changes, they're tough. They're really tough to do, especially if you are used to living a life where you are depriving yourself of goodness, if you are depriving yourself of being around people who care about you and support you and love you. And so again, there are a lot of things, there are a lot of things that we have to be willing to tackle. There are a lot of things that, you know, we are willing and having to be willing to be really honest with ourselves about. And these are tough discussions. They're tough discussions to have with yourself. They're tough discussions to have with other people. And yet, if we don't, if we do not want to commit to asking ourselves the questions and answering the questions truthfully, life goes by, and it is then no wonder why we live our lives in quiet desperation. And so many people, many, many people who I've treated over the years have lived their lives exactly like that, in quiet desperation, not being sure what it's all about, not being sure what to do, until they were finally ready and willing to address their issues head on. So again, really wondering what you might be thinking about all of this, and whether perhaps there is a little light that has gone off, you know, within you, where you might say to yourself, well, you know, it's true. I haven't been taking care of myself in certain ways. And even though I can't change the history, I can't change the past today or when I wake up tomorrow, I'm going to begin to do some things differently. I'm going to be willing to nurture myself in ways that I have yet to do, but I am prepared and I am serious, whether it means getting help. I'm going to do finally what is necessary to change the trajectory of my life. So here we are again. You know, I was going to discuss with you the subject of divorce, but we are really nearing the end of the show, and I think it probably would not be best, because this is a very, very big subject about the importance, if people are in the throes of divorce, to think about divorcing well, if at all possible. Again, doing what is in our best interest, because people who are in the throes of divorce, one of the greatest gifts, and this may sound really counterintuitive, but one of the greatest gifts that you can give yourself, your children, and your ex is to try to do it, to try to divorce in the best possible way. And if we don't, there can be long-term dire consequences. And this was an interesting letter also that I had received from somebody, which was why I wrote the column in Dan's paper on the best intentions. Divorce is always a painful reality for millions. The emotional, psychological, and financial consequences of divorce cannot be minimized. We know children suffer in unimaginable ways when their parents' marriage and family life is dissolved. However, people do have a choice in deciding how well or how badly we choose to divorce. And the consequences of divorcing badly have serious long-term effects on all members of the family. So even though you may be in a divorce situation right now and you're feeling like inflicting as much pain, damage, and vengeance on your former spouse as possible, I suggest that you take some time to think about how your anger, your betrayal, your disappointment, pain, and feelings of abandonment might be channeled in a healthier way. Because this isn't the time to be taking this painful journey on your own. And here again, we're in the throes of divorce or in the throes of a crisis. It's so important to not isolate yourself. And if you're lucky, if you're really, really lucky, you have friends and family who will be able to support you in all kinds of ways. And yet, if you don't, I hope that I have convinced you over all of these years that it is a good thing and it is not a weakness to reach out and get some good professional help. It doesn't have to be for a lifetime. It just needs to be until you have been in a much more stable situation where you are no longer needing the support of a mental health professional. So, you know, the thing is that, you know, the crises, the ups and downs that we all go through, you know, just getting second opinions, you know, how do you think that I should deal with this? Or what happens if I'm seeing that my child is depressed and anxious? Or I'm going through a bad time, my relationship is ending, or I am going through a divorce. What are some of the things that I need to do that will be things that will be in my best interest so that I am not going to hurt myself, so that I'm not going to engage in destructive or self-sabotaging behavior? And this is where, again, you know, just getting second opinions, making sure as best as we possibly can that we are staying on paths that will be good and as nurturing as possible for ourselves. I mean, that's really the goal, I think, that we all need to seek. Well, everybody, it is 3:58 p.m. here in very, very cold New York City. And I want to thank you again for listening. And I want to leave you with my two weekly messages. And this is really apropos everything that I've spoken about today. The first, of course, is to do everything possible that to live our lives in ways that are truly in our best interest. And secondly, of course, we need to do a much, much, much better job in learning to love each other. So again, I want to thank you so much for listening to today's show. And I will be back every single Monday from 3 to 4 p.m. Eastern Standard Time here on the Progressive Radio Network. So have a really good rest of the day. And I hope that you will take in and think about some of the things that I have talked about. So be good to yourself. Be good to your friends and family. And I'll talk with you next week. Bye, everybody.